It was a successful first test flight for Bombardier's C-Series. It's five in a row for Steve Hinton in Reno, and introducing the world's most affordable tactical jet. This is Aero News for Tuesday, September 17, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Under perfect weather conditions, Bombardier Aerospace celebrated the successful first flight of its C-Series aircraft on Monday, a major milestone in the company's highly anticipated development program that will provide operators with an all-new family of aircraft specifically designed for the 100 to 149-seat market segment. The maiden flight marks the start of the C-Series aircraft's flight test program leading up to the first customer delivery, and was also the first flight for Pratt & Whitney's new geared turbofan pure power engine as part of an aircraft certification program. The first C-Series aircraft was greeted by more than 3,000 Bombardier employees and board members, customers, partners, and suppliers upon its return to the company's Mirabel, Quebec facility, where the final assembly line for the C-Series aircraft program is now under construction. A total of five CS-100 flight test vehicles, all of which are currently in various stages of assembly, will join the flight test program in the coming months. Move over, NASCAR. Championship Air Racing now has its own five-time. The National Championship Air Races wrapped up its historic 50th event on Sunday afternoon with a thrilling Breitling Unlimited Gold Championship race that ended with four-time defending champion Steve Hinton edging out one of the best racing fields in the event's history for his fifth straight victory. Hinton, from Chino, California, was piloting the popular P-51 Mustang Voodoo, racing against his former plane, the legendary P-51 Mustang Strega, owned by famed air racer Bill Tiger DeStefani. By day's end, gold champions were crowned in all six race classes. Held every September just north of Reno, the National Championship Air Races have become an institution for Northern Nevada and aviation enthusiasts from around the world. In the past 10 years, the event has attracted more than 200,000 spectators per year and generated more than $80 million a year for the regional economy. The event features six racing classes, a large display of static aircraft, and several military and civil flight demonstrations. Textron Airland LLC, a joint venture between Textron and Airland Enterprises LLC, unveiled its Scorpion prototype, a versatile intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance strike aircraft platform, on Monday. The aircraft was introduced during a press conference at the Air Force Association Air and Space Conference and Technology Exposition in National Harbor, Maryland. The demonstration aircraft is now in test phase, with first flight scheduled to occur before the end of this year. The Scorpion is designed to accommodate the increasingly stringent budget constraints of the U.S. Department of Defense and U.S. partner nations. The Scorpion's design is well matched to the Air National Guard's missions, such as irregular warfare, border patrol, maritime surveillance, emergency relief, counter-narcotics, and air defense operations. While Scorpion's lower acquisition price is an advantage, an equally important benefit is the lower cost of operation over the aircraft's full life cycle. Combining ease of maintenance and globally available commercial components, the Scorpion can significantly lower the customer's total cost of ownership. Transatlantic cluster balloonist adventurer Jonathan Trapp is back in civilization. Trapp aborted his transatlantic attempt late last Thursday with a crash landing on Newfoundland after only 12 hours in the air. When last we left the intrepid pilot, he was hunkering down for a stormy night in the Newfoundland wilderness, using his lifeboat as a shelter. Trapp was found by a reporter from the Canadian Broadcasting Company using a chartered helicopter. Trapp says he was working on hiring a helicopter to fly in and get him and his equipment, but accepted the free ride from the CBC in return for giving them an exclusive interview. The CBC reported they had rescued Trapp, but he disputes that. Trapp was transported to a Canadian forestry station. He was later able to retrieve his boat and supplies by another helicopter. He had cut away all of the helium balloons during his landing. On Monday, he was en route back to New York City. Asked earlier how he felt about the flight, Trapp told the UK's Daily Express newspaper, quote, "I'm deflated," end quote. The Asia-Pacific region will continue to lead the globe in demand for hundreds of thousands of new commercial airline pilots and maintenance technicians to support expanding demand for new airplane deliveries over the next two decades. That according to a new, recently released forecast. The 2013 Boeing Pilot and Technician Outlook, a bellwether industry forecast of aviation personnel demand, calls for 192,300 new commercial airline pilots and 215,300 new technicians in the Asia-Pacific region from now through 2032. When Aero News continues, will Canada ditch Sikorsky? Alaska Air is most fuel efficient and going boldly where no one has gone before.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, September 17th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A legal battle may be brewing between the Canadian government and Sikorsky over the replacement of the country's aging Sea King helicopter fleet. Sikorsky is the latest company to work with Canada on a replacement for the 50-year-old helos still in service with their military. The Canadian newspaper, The Globe and Mail, reports that sources with inside information say that the Ottawa government is considering scrapping the Cyclone program with Sikorsky and filing a lawsuit in an effort to get some of its money back. But those same sources say that if that happens, Sikorsky is likely to file a lawsuit of its own against Canada. Public Works Minister Diane Finley said last week that the government is actively looking for alternatives to the CH-148 Cyclone. Meanwhile, Ottawa has refused delivery of four interim-configured aircraft, saying they do not meet the requirements of the contract. However, the Public Works Office did not specify just exactly how the aircraft fell short. In a report released Monday by the International Council on Clean Transportation, a nonprofit research organization based in Washington, D.C., Alaska Airlines is ranked number one in fuel efficiency. The ICCT study is the first to quantify fuel performance for U.S. airlines. Alaska, along with its regional partner Horizon Air, led all 15 mainline U.S. carriers as the most fuel-efficient airline operating in the United States in 2010, outperforming the least fuel-efficient carrier by 26%. By improving its fuel efficiency in recent years, Alaska Airlines reduced its carbon emissions by 30%, measured by flying one passenger 1 mile. This reduction was accomplished through a variety of measures, but most notably by migrating to exclusively flying the Boeing 737 and the Bombardier Q400, the most fuel-efficient aircraft in their classes. NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft officially is the first human-made object to venture into interstellar space. The 36-year-old probe is about 12 billion miles from our sun. Voyager 1 and its twin, Voyager 2, were launched 16 days apart way back in 1977. Both spacecraft flew by Jupiter and Saturn. Voyager 2 also flew by Uranus and Neptune. Voyager 2, launched ironically before Voyager 1, is the longest continuously operated spacecraft. It is currently about 9.5 billion miles away from our sun. Voyager mission controllers still talk to or receive data from Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 every day, though the emitted signals are currently very dim at about 23 watts, or roughly the power of a refrigerator light bulb. By the time the signals get to Earth, they are a fraction of a billion billionth of a watt. Scientists do not know when Voyager 1 will reach the undisturbed part of interstellar space, where there is no influence from our sun. They also are not certain when Voyager 2 is expected to cross into interstellar space, but they believe it is not very far behind. No doubt the news about Voyager is historic, but also a little scary. Why scary? Well, go back and watch the original Star Trek movie with its villainous space probe, V'ger. We've seen it before, when Hollywood's science fiction becomes science fact. I'm Glenn Moyer. As always, I thank you for listening. You're now cleared for departure.